This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
A very, very happy holiday season. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR, Sports Talk 870. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Please do not call in. Alex Shard and myself will be predicting all the upcoming bowl games from December 31st through the national championship game. So let's start, Alex, with the upcoming bowl games. We've got some good ones, and we've got a few toughies coming up. Well, first off, let's start with the Music City Bowl. We've got the Vanderbilt and North Carolina. I like schools like Vanderbilt, Alex. That's a school that doesn't get to a lot of, very rarely get to bowl games, but this is one I think they can win. They've got a great coach, and, you know, he's been at Vanderbilt just a couple of years, but he's done an outstanding job. So I like Vanderbilt on an upset over North Carolina State, who's coming back, but they're not quite as good as a team as I think they will become in years to come.
Yeah, absolutely, Earl. You know, Vanderbilt, they have that tough SEC conference. They're always the shining down kind of team. They're not always looked at as one of the top contenders in that conference. But here's the one thing I like about Vanderbilt, Earl. I think in that bowl, considering that they have had experience with SEC teams, I like their chances, and I think that's something that you should really look at is who they have played. And you look at, you know, an NC State team in the ACC, that's a completely different story.
Yes, Vanderbilt is one of those teams that are consistently getting beat down in the SEC because they're considered an academic institution, much like Northwestern and like Rice. But they're a very good one. They get a lot of good athletes in there, just like Northwestern does. And so they're very competitive. But I like Vanderbilt to beat North Carolina State in that game as well.
Yeah, I'll call Vanderbilt, too. We agree on that one so far.
Okay, so we agree on one, so we'll move on. Let's say we've got the Sun Bowl, and this is a game which I really thought that these would be two good teams. We got Southern Cal and Georgia Tech. And I've always been a big Georgia Tech fan because I like their head coach, Paul Johnson. And we thought Southern Cal would be competing for a national championship this year. And I heard Marcus Allen talking about what's wrong with his USC team. And he said they've lost that edge. They lost that. You used to always say USC was a tough team and they wear you down and win the game. Well, it seems like, as he said, they're just thinking too much. They're going too much into strategy and just trying to beat the games with X's and O's. And sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you just have to beat teams up. And that's what USC is used to doing. So I'm struggling with this one, but I think I'm going to pick Southern Cal to win this one because I've been a big Georgia Tech fan for and that's where Megatron went to school at, of course.
Right.
So I'll take Southern Cal to beat Georgia Tech.
All right, very good. You know what? It's fortunate that today, to start off, Earl, we're on the same page. I'm going to go with USC in this one, too. You know what? And this is what I think it comes down to. You look at the quarterback play. You look at all the quarterbacks that have came out of USC. Yeah, Georgia Tech has produced the Megatron. Yes, they have a good receiving core. But the thing about USC that's going to guide them through this game, Earl, is definitely their quarterback playing experience.
Well, yes, they have Matt Barkley is big. It looks like he may not be the top quarterback coming out in the draft, but he'll be up in the top 10. He'll be a top 10 pick. I'm pretty certain Barkley will. But if he had came out last year, that everyone says he probably would have been a number one pick. But it looks like they've got that edge in quarterback play, so that should give them an edge in the game. And Georgia Tech, they have a very good ground attack, and they'll probably break down and they'll try to different ways to run the ball. They run that triple option offense, which is hard to stop because don't that many teams run the triple option anymore. So that should be a very good running game for them. We'll see how that goes, but I'll stick with the USC.
All right, very good. Two for two so far.
Okay, well, we'll see. We might have a difference in this one because we have Tulsa going up against Iowa State, and that's listed as a pick'em game. So with that being a pick'em game, I would say, I'll let you pick this one first. You go ahead.
All right. So, you know, both teams, you know, they've got some pretty good wins. They've beaten some pretty good teams. You know, and when a game like this, you know, this isn't that noticeable of a bowl compared to a lot of the other bowl games we have so far. You know, I'm looking at the records. Iowa State in the Big 12, you know, they're 6-6. Tulsa, 10-3 in Conference USA play. You know, not the best division, but there's one thing about these teams that I'm looking at, and I'm looking at some of the statistics here, and I'm looking at points per game. Tulsa, 35 points when Iowa State's in the low 20s. I think Tulsa is going to put up a lot of offense, and I think with a lot of the Bulls this year, there's going to be a lot of offense. So I'm going to go with Tulsa in this one.
Okay. I was sending, I'm thinking maybe I'll just take one to be different from you in this game, I might still take Tulsa, but you know, Iowa State is a tough team, you know, and they played a good defense most of the year, but Tulsa didn't play in a tough league. That's why they scored a lot of points, because a lot of teams that were okay defensively, but they weren't any powerhouses. They could put up, they ran up points on everybody. But they're a senior laden team, and they have a lot of good seniors there. So Tulsa is a very strong team. Well, I think I've just about talked myself into it. I'll go along with Tulsa with you.
All right, okay, very good.
I won't chicken out. I think Tulsa's a better team, and you know, and we'll see if they can hang one on North Carolina, and you know, North Carolina's against Iowa State. So, you see any way Iowa State can win that game?
Yeah, no, I do see a way they could win, and I think it's going to start with their quarterback play. I mean, their quarterback, you know, he isn't the kind of guy that's going to throw a lot of touchdowns. I mean, he's thrown 11 picks, so I think if they limit the turnovers and he really completes a lot of his passes, I think that's going to do it for him.
Okay. Well, our next game, this is going to be a tough one. We've got LSU going up against Clemson. What a game that's going to be. LSU is, you know, a tough team from the SEC, one of the better teams in the SEC, had a very good season, you know, but they just couldn't win some of the bigger games. But, boy, you talk about a tough team, you know, I got to go with LSU. Clemson's a good team. I've seen them a lot this year, but I think LSU is just too tough.
Yeah, you know what? This is also a game with a lot of recruiting battles on the line. These two teams consistently face off together, competing against a couple of recruits. I remember when Jadeveon Clowney was choosing between Clemson and LSU. I mean, he chose Clemson over when many people thought he'd go a little bit farther south. One thing to note in this game, I mean, Taj Boyd, this guy's been a Clemson quarterback for years now. His draft stock, he's come to the point now where he's looking to prove himself. I'm going to go, and this is the one game where I'm going to choose an upset. I think Clemson is going to knock off LSU.
Oh, okay. So you're going to take the upset, and I'm going
I think Taj Boyd, you know, in his last year as a Clemson quarterback, I think he's going to prove it. I think he's wanting this game. You know, they got snubbed out of a BCS berth. I think they have a lot to prove.
Okay. And I'll stick with LSU, the better overall, I believe, defensive squad. And that should be a good game with two teams basically that are defensive-oriented. But you might be right. They might have the better quarterback. And if they do, you're right. Clemson will win the game. But I think that the LSU's defense is so strong, they'll be able to shut Clemson down. So I'll take LSU. We've got our first game that we have a difference on between LSU and Clemson. So Three we agree on, and one we don't agree on. So let's move on to the next one. And the next one, well, we're going to start a little bit of a trend. We got Big Ten games coming up. And this is the first Big Ten game coming up. And this one on January 1st, the Heart of Dallas Bowl. And that should be a packed game. They've got Oklahoma State going against Purdue. And I wish I could vote for Purdue. I wish I could, but Purdue, as you know, their coach got fired. They've got an interim coach there coaching them on, and I just can't see any way.
Yeah, no way.
No way they're going to beat Oklahoma State.
As much as it is Jack's nemesis and rival team, you know what? I mean, Oklahoma State, they dropped 45 points per game. I mean, they're fifth in total yards in the whole NCAA. I mean, that's something that the Purdue defense, who lets up 29 points per game, is going to have a lot to deal with.
Yeah, and I can't see them winning that one anyway, sneaking through it or getting by. Oklahoma State is too good offensively and really too good defensively. That's just a very good team. And, you know, so I expect Purdue, this will be one of the few games, and this is a New Year's Day game, that the New Year's Day team will get hammered on, and I can't see any way that Purdue can keep this close.
Yeah, you know, I'm also looking at Joseph Randle in this game, the running back. I mean, this guy out of a school that consistently produces receivers. I mean, this guy's got a lot to prove. I mean, you know, there's draft stock high. You know, they're looking at Stewart over there too. But you know what? I think they're gonna try to test the run game in this game.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, both agree on this one. We think that Oklahoma State is just going to hand one on Purdue, who'll be in the market for a new coach. I must admit, Alex, I like the old coach. I thought he was getting around to doing a good job, but when you lose like he has 3 years in a row, I guess he's on a short lease, and they got rid of Danny Hope. So
yeah,
good luck to Purdue in winning the game, and
sure,
and hopefully. Now we got to move on to another Big Ten team. This one has, I think, a good chance of winning. We've got Mississippi State going up against my Northwestern Wildcats. I'll claim the Wildcats. I think they're a good team, and I'm glad that they've got to a pretty good bowl game, the Gator Bowl coming up on January 1st. And, Mississippi State might be favored, but to me, it doesn't matter whether they're the favorite or not. This is a team, a game that's going to be played by two pretty good teams.
Yeah, I mean, this would be Northwestern's first win since 1949.
Yes, they haven't won any games, bowl games, that's for sure.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald consistently preaches about his guys playing smart. Mm-hmm. And this is a game where you're not going to play, the team in the Mississippi State team, that's going to run all sorts of sequences and offenses and different formations. I mean, they're pretty solid in an SEC typical offense. And, I think they're going to have a game plan. Not sure if they will be able to execute it with their size, but I'm going to go with Mississippi State. I think, although Northwestern, this is their first opportunity. This is a big game for them. I just don't think they have the physical tools to compete.
Well, see, you knew that I'm going to stick up for my Big Ten. You knew that.
Well, I knew.
So you're trying to take advantage
That's
of me
right.
Because I'm taking my Big Ten team. I got to pick some Big Ten games. I've had to listen to Drew dog the Big Ten, as you know, all year long. So I'm trying to get a few wins out of the Big Ten. I don't know how many I'm going to get, but I like Northwestern to beat Mississippi State.
Well, here's the other thing about Mississippi State. Tyler Russell is tremendous. The junior 6'4", the guy throws for 2,000 yards, only has 6 interceptions for the year. I mean, that's something out of an SEC school with great, big, blitz defenses. That's a really hard statistic to maintain.
Okay, well, this is our second one to disagree on, so we'll be keeping track, folks, and we'll let you know how many who picks the most wins, who will end up being the champion between I and Alex at the end
All
of
right.
the day. And
what's the prize, Earl? Glory? You get to retire early if you win.
Well, let's see. Maybe I'll stay a little longer if I win.
All right.
That's going to be a good game, though, that Mississippi State Northwestern game. I'm looking forward to watching that one. Hopefully you'll watch that one. That's the Gator Bowl. Next up, we have the Outback Bowl, which is what Michigan State played in the other year. And it's Georgia. South Carolina going up against Michigan. That should be a very good game, South Carolina against Michigan. And I got to tell you, I like South Carolina in this one because you mentioned his name before, Clowney. As you know, I like Clowney very much. I put him on my Heisman Trophy ballot. So I'm going to pick South Carolina to run roughshod over Michigan this year.
Ooh, bold call. What? I'm going to go the opposite again. I'm going
right.
to go with Michigan. I'm going to go Big Ten, like you'd say. This is Denard Robinson's, this is his final game. Key note here, he's back in his home state. First time back in his home state. So I think he's going to perform. I think there's been a lot of disappointment with him. I think we'll come back firing in this game.
Well, we'll get a chance to see. I like it that you're going to back a Big Ten team. You're not going to be like Drew Sharp and just dog my Big Ten. So I'm glad you got the Big Ten.
Yep.
You got the Big Ten, so that's good. And I'm taking South Carolina on this one. Let's see. We've got one more game coming up on January 1st.
Real quick, Earl, just back to Michigan.
Yes.
You know, Denard Robinson's last game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to give Devin Gardner a majority of the playing time? He has proven himself.
Yes, I would. I would give Devin Gardner the majority of the calls. That's for sure. Gardner's proven that he's a good quarterback. He's coming back next year. He's petitioning the league to get an extra year. So if he comes back, Michigan will be very strong next year, and I think they'll be very good under Devin Gardner. That's for sure.
Right.
But I think they're going to probably go with Denard, giving him the most playing time this year. And if he does, that he won't be able to run away from as fast as he is from that defensive front of South Carolina, because that's a very quick team. So I look forward to seeing that game, but I'll stick with South Carolina. So that's three games we disagree on, right?
That's right. Yeah, and that's the other thing. I mean, if they use Denard, Earl, I mean, this is a quick South Carolina defense, really fast, agile defensive lineman. Here's the thing. Michigan runs the spread when Denard's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Spread offenses aren't really used for these quick teams. Now, see, if that's the case, you might have to play Devin Gardner a bit more. True?
Yeah, you might have to. And they can get that's the thing. South Carolina can get to the quarterback. They can get to him. So that's going to make it and maybe they can do as well if Gardner's in the game. So it'll be an interesting contest between those two. That's for sure. Well, the next game, we have another Big Ten team. We've got Nebraska going up against Georgia. And as much as I like to pick these Big Ten teams, boy, this is another one. I'm going to have to go the other way. I'm going to have to go with Georgia, the SEC, in this game. I hate to take them because, you know, playing into Drew Sharp's hands a lot, to picking a Georgia team over Nebraska. And Georgia's a very good team. They had a good year, and, you know, they've a good squad, a lot of good players. They're a loser in the SEC championship game, but I don't think they'll lose this bowl game. So I'll take them. But you going to take Nebraska over there, Alex?
You know what? I was thinking about it, and I don't want to talk myself into it because I was just about to go on a rant about how great Taylor Martinez is and how he's improved himself so much as a quarterback, how he beat the Spartans this year on the road. And you know what?
Go with him. You got it.
All right, let's take Nebraska. You talked me into it this time, bro.
Okay, so you're going to take and I like Taylor Martinez, too. I really do like Taylor Martinez. And he had a very good year in the Big Ten. But, yeah, I just have to believe that Georgia is just a better all-around team. Good, solid defense, good quarterbacking, and they won't make as many mistakes, I think, as Nebraska.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Martinez, too. Statistically, he hasn't had that great of a year if you compare him to other quarterbacks, SEC, Big Ten. The thing about Martinez is he's definitely improved in late-game situations, two-minute drills and beyond. We've seen him in Michigan State. We've seen him against Purdue, a couple other teams. He's definitely proven himself in. And I think with a Georgia team like this, I think it's going to be a lot closer of a game than people might think. I mean, both of these teams, Nebraska allows a lot of points, and that's going to be pretty hard to stop in an Andy Murray kind of guy. But here's the thing about Nebraska is they also put up a lot of points under Martinez.
Well, it's going to be an interesting game, that's for sure. So I'll stick with Georgia. Now, are you going to come with me and stick with Georgia, or are you going to go on and stick with Taylor Martinez?
All right, here's the thing. I'm going to go and hop on the Aaron Murray bandwagon and go to Georgia here.
Okay, so you're gonna downgrade my poor Big Ten too.
Yep.
Okay. Well, now let's go to the big one for the Big Ten. You got the Rose Bowl. You got Stanford going up against Wisconsin. So I would ordinarily take the Big Ten. Ordinarily I would, but I can't. I gotta go with Stanford. Stanford is a good, solid team. They won their division in the big Pac-12 conference, as it's called now, and they were the conference champions. So I like Stanford. Their coach has done a great job, but David Shaw's done an outstanding job coaching those guys. He got them playing at a very high level without Andrew Luck. I mean, they still played well and didn't have him I have to commend him for getting his team ready to play at a high level. So I'm going to stick with Stanford. I don't know about you, but I'll stick with Stanford, and I'll give you Wisconsin. You give you another Big Ten.
Fair enough. You know what? I mean, obviously a lot of disappointment. Ohio State, Penn State unable to compete in this game. But you know, here's the thing about Stanford. Yeah, they did compete without Andrew Luck, sure. But the quarterback only completes 52% of his passes this year. And when you're playing a defense in Wisconsin, that's very good. I mean, they rush a lot on the ground. They're 12th in the NCAA in rushing. It's going to be a lot to contain, and it's going to be an offensive battle. So I'm going to go with Wisconsin on this one.
Yeah, it will be, because Wisconsin, we know they'll control the ball on the ground. They're going to try to run it down Stanford's throat. I don't think they'll be able to do it, but if they do it, then you're right. The Wisconsin will win the game hands down. But I don't think they can control the game. I don't think we'll see Monty Ball getting off as much as he has all year. But I like Stanford, and I'll stick with Stanford to win that game. Well, we've got a game, the Orange Bowl, which is a little bit of a different game. We've got the Florida State, that is, going up against poor Northern Illinois from the MAC conference. I like the MAC. I've always liked the MAC, but I think Northern Illinois might have bit off more than they can chew. That's the thing. They might have just bit off a little bit too much of a game there going up against Florida. Going up against Florida State. So I'll reluctantly take them over Northern Illinois, even though I've listened to all the experts talk, and none of them give Northern Illinois a chance. A couple of people gave them a chance, but I'm sticking with Florida State to win that game.
Yeah, I'm going to side with you on this one, too. Florida State, I mean, they just are a dynamic team this year.
Yes, they are.
And, I mean, you know, clinching that ACC championship, all around. They scored a lot. They score a lot. I think they're 14th overall in points scored. They put up a lot of yards, too. And this is a solid offensive team, led by a pretty veteran quarterback, throwing for 3,000 yards plus. So,
yeah, we might end up taking two games the same because Florida is coming up, and they've got Louisville. So you've got Florida, Louisville, and Florida State going up against Northern Illinois. And I like Florida because that's another team. They've built a very good program, all along down there in Florida. So I like Florida and Florida State, and I'll take Florida to win this game against Louisville, who has a pretty good team as well. Louisville just never gets that much publicity. They're a Big East team, and they've got a lot of big time talent down there, Alex. But I'll stick with Florida to beat Louisville.
Yeah, they've got a top young gunner quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater out of Louisville. I mean, this guy's thrown for almost 3,500 yards this year. Has a 69% completion percentage. That's phenomenal numbers for a sophomore at Louisville.
Yes, he has. He has a bunch. But we know that Florida, they're such a good team. They have such good defense and offense. They're really good in all areas. So, and that's why I'll stick with them to beat Louisville. But you're right, their quarterback, you have to be impressed with Teddy Bridgewater there, Louisville quarterback. He's special quarterback, but I don't know if he's special enough. I don't think he's special enough to beat Florida. So I'll stick with Florida and let you have the upset.
You know what? Although Teddy Bridgewater is very good, I'm going to stick with Florida too.
Oh, you're going to side with me. You're not going to go the other way, because we've got about four differences.
Hey, that's a lot. If you compare it to all your Big Ten picks with Drew and Jack, that's a lot more than most expected.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the next game coming up, this is going to be a great game. I must admit, I'll enjoy watching this game as much as I will the national championship game. This is Oregon and Kansas State, who both were, as you know, in the running for the national championship game for a long time in the season, through about 8 to 9 games. They got edged out at the end, but these are still two good teams, highly ranked. I think they ended up being ranked 3rd and 4th in the nation. And they're going to have a very good game playing against each other. You got to like Oregon, I would say. I think you have to like Oregon just because other speed factor. Those guys are so fast at Oregon. And I don't know how they get them all to go up to Oregon. A lot of them are California guys. And I don't know what they do in recruiting to convince all these guys to go up to Oregon. But, boy, they've got a ton of speed on that team. And
they sure do, yeah.
And they'll show them. So I know, who are you going to take in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to take Oregon, too. But one thing to know about Kansas State, this is breaking news today, Jake Waters, junior college All-American quarterback, chose Kansas State over Penn State today. I know if you were following that, or a lot of chatter about that, where he was going to go. I mean, that totally upgrades them next year. They could compete again next year for the national championship, as far as I'm concerned, with Jake Waters.
Yeah. Well, one thing Oregon and their coach, Bill, coach there, Bill, not Bill Self. I was going to say Bill Self, but, you know, he's been there a long time. And so he is their team. You know, he always has great special teams, he runs. And that could win them that game. So if you want to take them, I'll understand it. I'll understand if you want to take Kansas State over Oregon, because they have great special teams play. So you can, you can go with them. You can take.
I'm aware. Listen, here's the thing about Oregon. They've created a dynasty over the last 3 years. You know, they were facing a time after losing to Michigan two straight years. You know, that was, I think, back in 06, 07. For the past 3 years, this team has totally upgraded, have started landing recruits from out east to come out west there. And you know what? I think that this will just keep continuing for years to come.
So you're gonna do like me, gonna go with Oregon.
That's right. I'm gonna be smart like you and go with Oregon.
you could show some guts and go with the other team.
I showed my guts in picking Clemson, Earl.
Yeah, you did, but you can show a little bit more guts. You can get out there on a limb.
All right.
I won't let the tree take you down.
We'll see in the A&M game and maybe the national championship game. I might make a couple surprise picks there. Well, hey, how about you? What are your surprise picks?
Well, let me see. I'm looking at the games left and see if I'll have a. Yeah, I see. I'll have one surprise pick for you in the games we have left. I might have two surprise picks for you in the games we have left.
Okay, well, let's keep on rolling.
Okay, let's go to the Cotton Bowl. Texas A&M versus Oklahoma. Two solid teams. You know, Texas A&M had that great victory over Alabama during the regular season. But I'll take, this might be one of my surprise picks, I'll take Oklahoma to beat Texas A&M. Texas A&M ended up finishing in the top 10, being a very highly ranked team and a very good team. But I like Oklahoma. They're the underdog in this game, but you know, they're very strong, and I like Oklahoma, even though they are an underdog.
Yeah, I mean, although they are technically an underdog if you judge by the spread, I really don't think they are. I mean, this is an experienced Oklahoma team. Landry Jones is his senior year, almost throwing for 4,000 yards. That's incredible. As much as Manziel, you know, is the highlight of the game, I'm going to side with you here. I was actually planning to pick this one, too, as an upset. So, Oklahoma, definitely.
So we're both picking the upset pick here. We're both taking Oklahoma over Texas A&M. And, you know, Manziel, he's a great freshman. And I'm still not sure if he was – I know everyone told me that he was deserving of the Heisman. And maybe he was deserving of the Heisman. I don't know. You know, but he's a good quarterback as a freshman. He's learned a lot. He still has a lot to learn. That makes me a little bit nervous with freshman.
Yeah, right. Now, here's the thing, Earl, that I have for you, questions for you. Mm-hmm. Now, if Manziel doesn't win this game against Oklahoma, let's say he gets overshadowed by Landry Jones, what does that do in terms of the Heisman vote? Does that affect any of the voters? Is there going to be some wide-range criticism about choosing him over Teo? Because personally, I was on the Teo bandwagon all the way.
Yeah, I was too. I was on the Teo bandwagon, but a lot of people were on the Manziel bandwagon. He had a ton of, I mean, you know, nobody can go back and change their way they voted. So it's that's in. I mean, they might start looking at next year and how does he do next year. You know, I expect he'll be one of the leading candidates going into the vote next year. You know, but he's going to have to prove it again. That's the thing. When you win it now, especially as a freshman, now a freshman that's never won it, but people expect you to perform at a very high level every single year. And so he's going to have to do that. He's going to have to be performing at a high level, at least for the next 2 years, if not longer. He'll have to do that for at least two more years. But he may have to do it even longer there. So I'm sticking. I'm going to go with Oklahoma on that one. And just see, he had a great year at A&M, but yeah, I still like him in the Cotton Bowl. I think Oklahoma's going to win the Cotton Bowl this year.
Bold prediction. Okay.
Well, you're with me, so I got a little help on my backside there.
That's right.
So we both got Oklahoma. And the next one, we have the Compass Bowl, Mississippi going up against Pittsburgh. This to me is a difficult one to pick, too, Alex. I'm just not so sure about either team. Mississippi, I think they were one of the teams that qualified at the last minute in the last game of the season. So that makes me gravitate more towards Pittsburgh. But will Pittsburgh be one of those teams that even though they qualified a little bit earlier in the bowl season and qualified first, or will that let them affect how they play up against Mississippi and Mississippi qualifying last and gotten this basically, in all honesty, I guess we have to call this one of these do nothing bowls.
Definitely.
It doesn't have a lot of excitement behind it.
Yeah.
So.
And here's the other thing: Pittsburgh just got into a bowl as well in their last weekend too.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing about Mississippi: yeah, barely getting to the bowl. Out of their last nine games, they've won eight of them. That is a tremendous statistic. That shows some great coaching. And this is a Mississippi team this year that, they've had a lot of close games. A lot of their games have been determined less than 10 points. And when you're in a conference like Mississippi is in the SEC, I mean, that's a really tough statistic to look at. So based off what I've seen, I'm going to go with Mississippi in this one. What about you, Earl?
Yes. Well, you're going with Mississippi. I guess I'll stick with Pittsburgh in this one. That'll give us another one to cover and, to have a difference on. That makes at least five differences we have. So, this will make it, it's going to be a challenge to see who wins this one. But I sort of like Mississippi at first when we first started talking. But
yeah, why is that?
Because I looked over, they've got some very good players there. But, they just don't seem to have enough. So I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh. They've got a solid program there, and they've won a number of games. So I've got I'll stick with Pittsburgh, that's for sure. I won't switch. I'll stick with them, and I think we'll have an upset. At least I've got an upset in the next game. So the next game will be one of my big upset picks.
All right. Now, you think this Ole Miss game, is this going to be a high-scoring game? I mean, two quarterbacks that are very good, over 63% completion percentages on both sides.
Yeah, I think so. I'd be surprised if this was in the lower half of the 20 points. I think both teams will score above the 20 point, in the upper 20s, maybe even 30s. It should be a very good game, and we'll see how they do when they match up. But, yeah, I'll stick with Pittsburgh to beat Mississippi.
All right, very good.
Okay, well, we've got, two left to go, and here's my upset game. We've got Arkansas State and Kent State. Kent State, to me, was a very good team in the MAC. They didn't win the MAC championship game, which went to Northern Illinois, which qualified. The MAC conference had seven teams in bowl games this year. They've never qualified that many bowl games in a year before. Seven Big Ten MAC teams going to bowl games is the first time it's happened. Very unprecedented games. So I like the MAC in this one. I don't think I give them much of a chance in many of the other ones, but I like them in this one against Arkansas State, who's a good team. The MAC team is a very good team. It's in the GoDaddy.com bowl. So I'll take Kent State over Arkansas State.
Oh, I mean, this is an excited Kent State team. That's absolutely right. First bowl game in 40 years.
Yes.
That's tremendous. Here's the thing about Arkansas State. This is a very good team. They faced Northern Illinois last year in the GoDaddy.com bowl. So another similar foe in an MAC school. Now, My prediction, I'm going to go Arkansas State on this one. They've got a tremendous quarterback in Arplin. Applin. And I just think that they're going to just outpower, you know, a typical MAC school that doesn't perform well in bowl games.
Well, you know, the fact that Kent State hasn't been in bowl games, so this is going to be the first one. But, you know, they haven't been in one in a while. But I'm going with the underdog. I think Kent State can find to win a bowl game, and I'm glad to see them in a bowl game. And I like them with a great chance to win that game. So that's my boldest pick from all the bowl games is that Kent State game, and they'll upset Arkansas State. And you're going with Arkansas State. You're going with the favorite.
Yep. I'm going with the favorite. Not just the favorite, but, uh-huh. but this is a team, you know, pretty consistently, you know, they do pretty well every year in bowl games. I mean, I like their quarterback a lot. I mean, quarterback's one of the main components for me.
Okay. Well, it should be a good game. And Kent State's got a pretty good quarterback, too. So we'll just have to see how it works out in this game. But I like Kent State. You like Arkansas State. We're going to have an upset team win on one of these bowl games.
That's right.
Well, now, you know, it's time for the big one, the national championship game.
Yep.
You know, and that's Alabama going up against Notre Dame. I really don't know which. I mean, I'm leaning towards Alabama, but I'm not sure really. I mean, you might can convince me to pick Notre Dame in this one. This is a game between Notre Dame, as you know, has a great defense, but Alabama has a great defense too. Maybe Alabama has a little bit more offensive firepower to them. So I guess you'd probably say go with Alabama. That's who I'll probably right now. I'll speak to. Go with Alabama, but I'll let you give your side. Maybe you can convince me to go with Notre Dame.
All right. Well, here's what I'm going to say to start off the bat. Mm-hmm. These teams really don't jump out on paper. There aren't, you know, they don't really have Heisman winners. They don't have statistics. You know, they're not top in the country in many categories. But the thing about both of these teams is that the one thing that is going to be the main determinant are their defenses. Let's start with Notre Dame. Their goal line defense is tremendous. I mean, we've seen it game in and game out. We've seen it against the Spartans. I mean, we've seen this Notre Dame team creep up in many late game situations too that we weren't even think were possible. Here's the other thing about Notre Dame that I'm not sold on. It's Everett Golson. Sure, he's made tremendous strides as a quarterback. Sure. Yeah, the defense has kept this team in a lot of games. But when you're playing an SEC team, when you're playing the Roll Tide, I think there are going to be a lot of problems, especially with all this time off and him not being ready to play every week. You know, they were a hot team. Don't get me wrong, Earl. You can agree. They were a hot team. They won a lot of close games, including the Spartans. Well, they routed the Spartans, but there were some other close games that, you know, no one really thought Notre Dame would go undefeated at this point. And as well as Teo has been, as prominent as he has been, I just don't think it will be enough. I think Teo is the equivalent of any SEC. I mean, he's a freak, but I think SEC guys, running backs, I mean, let's talk about Alabama's running game. I mean, Lacy himself and Yeldon combined. I mean, those guys, 1,000 yards each, I think they could run right down Taya. I mean, that's what I'm going to say about Bama. So does that sway your opinion in any way, Earl? Let's start off with you two.
Well, you know, it doesn't a little bit, but like Alabama. Their team is so solid. And what really got me convinced about Notre Dame, though, was against Michigan State, how they handled Michigan State so well, and then also how they handled Michigan the next week. When I saw those two games, it showed me that they would be a powerhouse team that year. After those two games, I was convinced that they'd go unbeaten, but I thought they'd have a very good team and a very good season. Excuse me, and they did. They did both very well. And Teo was the leader of that team, leader of that defense. And you're right, I think he should have been the Heisman Trophy winner because he led that team in that defense. And defensive players just don't get enough credit when you look at them. And I think that Teo should, you know, I think that they should rename the Heisman Trophy and just call it the best offensive player, because an offensive player, the last defensive player won it was Charles Woodson from Michigan. So, you know, and they're always giving it to offensive players, always looking for the quarterback or the running back or occasionally a receiver. So, you know, they just should make it an offensive award and start bringing up that pretense of defense. So I like Alabama, even though I could give Notre Dame their defense might carry them on to victory. So which one are you taking, my friend?
And here's the other thing about Bama. This is a young Bama team, unlike last year. Yeah, they do have McCarron. He has played a year before. Here's the thing about Bama. They've got a really young offensive line. Yep, they've got some big oldies down there, but you know, when it comes to Teo, sure, he'll split the offensive line just like he split Michigan and Michigan State, just like they split Le'Veon Bell. But the thing about Bama is that although they have some young offensive line, I mean, I don't think Teo has seen an SEC-type offense yet. And, you know, as well as they have played, they've won some great games. I think that's going to be the main breaker for me. So I'm going to choose an, in quote, upset, which may not seem an upset to some people, I'm going to go with Alabama.
Okay.
Roll Tide, baby. Roll Tide.
Well, I'm going with Alabama as well. Notre Dame could pull the upset, I would say, but they've got enough defense to stop that Alabama running game. The passing game is okay that Alabama has with McCarron, but he's not a great, great, prolific passer, you would say. He's just a good passer, a good quarterback, and he's a game manager. He's not a game changer or not one to change a game, but he's a good game manager, and he can do that. So I'll stick with Alabama to win the game with the guy who's not a game changer, whereas Notre Dame and Adrian Golson, he can change a game on a play. He can make some of those breathtaking plays and some of those spectacular plays. So I'll stick with Alabama as well.
All right, yep. So, you know, got our picks in. Let's talk a little bit of NCAA football news, Earl.
Okay.
Breaking story coming out today about Texas. Texas topping NCAA football profit and revenue. I mean,
That's not surprising to me because they're the biggest school, one of the biggest in the country. And Texas, they have, 100,000-seat stadium almost with all the other teams. So they bring in a lot of revenue. And so I'm not surprised about that. They've been a revenue builder, just like Ohio State is in the Big Ten. Those are two schools that bring in a lot of money. Notre Dame brings in a lot of money as well. Those are probably three of the biggest money makers. Of course, Michigan is a big money maker. Those are some of your biggest money makers in college football. And if they have you have a big stadium and you can get the recruits, the money's going to roll in, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Great point. And the other thing about Texas is let's talk about their disappointment. I mean, this is a team losing to Oklahoma. You know, they couldn't really, you know, get there to the game. You know, they weren't really, they had some troubles. And
yes,
when it comes to revenue, I assume that would have affected it a little bit. And that's why it surprises me, because, sure, Texas football is Texas football. They're faithful. They will commit no matter what. They're going to fill that stadium game in and game out. But although they may sell the seats, when it comes to revenue, I feel that some fans would just get so frustrated, as they would with State, as they would with Michigan. Sometimes the revenue would go down just in the slightest way. Now, what do you think about that, Earl?
Well, it might go down in the slightest way, but if they start winning again, it'll go back up. That's the thing. They have to lose like 2 or 3 years in a row before you see a significant drop-off. And since neither one goes that long with having bad seasons, I mean, you know, so let's say Texas – when we go 5-7, that's a bad year. And if they ever do that like 2 or 3 years, well, the coach would be gone. You know, teams change coaches today like a drop of a hat. They get rid of them quickly. So that would be a tough going if they got rid of their coach, got rid of Mack Brown. He's been a good coach for a long time. But some people down there, I know a lot of people think that he's getting a little bit too old and that he should be pushed out the door. So, but that's what they're saying down there. But I still like Mack Brown, and I think he's doing enough. He's definitely doing the job recruiting. He's getting some very good recruits in. Now, I'm not sure if he has the coordinators to run it these days and get the most out of his team. But I would still stick with Mack Brown, and I still like Texas and how they run things.
Yeah, now can you guess the second and third place winners in revenue behind Texas, Earl?
Well, I would say Ohio State for one. I think Michigan would be another one. I'll say those two, and it would have to be another school that has a very large stadium, I would say.
Yeah, so believe it or not, Ohio State not even in the top 10.
Oh, yeah?
Michigan and Georgia are followed 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, okay.
And one more thing just that, you know, to finish this little segment here. I'm very surprised. Tennessee, huge stadium. They created ESPN Knoxville. Revenue, just not even there. Totally lost program right now, Earl.
Yes, they got to bounce back in a strong way somehow because Tennessee always prides themselves. I was down there, as a matter of fact, a few years ago, and they were talking, and I was getting showed around all the facilities, and they talk about how they have such a big football
stadium.
Yeah,
talk stadium. About the facilities
and,
there.
And
how nice were they?
They're very nice. They got some lovely facilities and that's the thing. In the South, you know, as a matter of fact, so many schools have very good facilities in the South, and Tennessee had all of their facilities were very good facilities, and we were impressed with what we saw there. But I would say, even though they're a big time program, they don't have a lot of big time recruits out of their state. They have to go outside of their state of Tennessee to get some of the big recruits. Where they're situated at in Tennessee, a lot of schools will come into Tennessee and get some of their better players out of that state. So it's very hard for Tennessee to get the best out of Tennessee and then go into some other states and get the best players out. So it's a very challenging for them to do that. And I'm not sure if they can do that, if they can get away with it. But I'll stick with I like Georgia and Michigan. As you said, those are the top three teams along with Texas. But the other teams are strong, and they'll probably be up there for a long, long time. I know Georgia's been tough for a very long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even building off that, let's talk about even LSU. And that's definitely a team that when Les Miles was debating to leave, you know, rumors about Michigan, he stayed true. And I think that only helped the cause for them to fall in the top five in revenue, too.
Well, that's for sure. And LSU is very, you know, they had Saban first and then Les Miles. They've had two strong quality coaches. Nick Saban has done a lot for Alabama. And I know they're probably selling as much revenue almost as anybody right now. They have to be coming. If they win another national title, then it'll be interesting to see where Alabama would be the next year. Because if they get another national title, you're talking about a really tough team with a good following. And Alabama and Auburn, I'll say Auburn will be have gotten so small, they're almost invisible right now. So they've really got a big strain on them to try to come up and compete with Alabama because Auburn has been good over the years, but they're not nowhere near the Alabama crowd. And I sort of feel sorry for them, Alex. I just don't see any way that Auburn can come up and match unless they get another Cam Newton. Get a player like that who can maybe lead them the way. They had him. They had Bo Jackson. They get a few good players every now and then, but the majority of good players in Alabama go to Alabama. They don't go to Auburn. And they might go to some of those smaller schools, but Alabama just gets the majority of players there. And that frustrates a lot of Auburn fans because when you look at it, Auburn and Michigan fans are alike. They're in the same boat. You know, you got to go up against the big established schools like Alabama, like Michigan. And, that's who the fans want. They follow those big name schools. They don't follow the Michigans. They don't follow the Michigan States and the Auburns. They're just to them, they're like minor leaguers. And, you want Michigan State to be a big-time school, but, when you're in the backyard against Michigan, you got to keep competing against Michigan every day. I don't know how you can do that.
Oh, no, absolutely, I agree. And same thing goes for Big Ten. I mean, Michigan, Michigan State, as far as they are, part right in the backyard. They compete against in-state recruits every year. Sure, we had a break when Brady Hoke, you know, before Brady Hoke took over, when Rich Rod was here, he recruited more down south. Well, now, Brady Hoke, he is, quote-unquote, the Michigan man.
Yep.
Just like it applies to down south, Les Miles, you know, he tries to sway those Alabama recruits. Same ordeal.
It is, and you, when you look at Michigan State and their recruiting, they've got to, I've often said this, they have to not only recruit against Michigan, they recruit against Ohio State and against Notre Dame. And those are three of the most powerful, laden schools in college football history. You're talking about against three of the best schools in history, and when you're recruiting against those three, you might win an occasional battle in the recruiting, but you won't win many going up against them. You might get an occasional one, and now that Michigan State, they had those back-to-back 11-month seasons, that's gotten their fans a lot more enthusiastic about their chances, but, you know, I can't see them staying up there on the pedestal they have been because of those two 11-1 seasons. I see them going back down now. I think they can finish. Michigan State could probably finish with a lot more 8-win seasons, 9-win seasons. But getting double digits again, they might get it next year, as a matter of fact, because they've got a schedule that's very manageable next year. But for the most part, I think they're going to be basically an 8 or 9-win team.
Hey, you know what? 8 or 9 wins with the schedule they have looks idealistic. But here's the thing that I'm most worried about. When recruits come into these games and they're watching – Michigan State's easily going to compete with a lot of teams next year. When all these recruits are coming in and they're seeing these wins, but they're not against decent teams, do you think that hurts the fact and they're going to go to see other games where Ohio State's playing Michigan? You know, that's a game that, you know, if I'm a recruit and I'm at a more impactful game, it may be a loss. That might, you know, be the deal breaker for me.
Well, it could be, because it depends on, like you say, when you come. If you go to a Michigan-Ohio State game, that's big. But Michigan-Michigan State game, that's always a big game as well. So, you know, every school plays some big games. Michigan State will have their big games. Ohio State will have their big games. Michigan will have their big games. Every school has a big game, one or two or even maybe three a year. So Michigan State will have to. Hopefully they get some, make some hay. And I'm not sure, you know, one thing, Alex, I've talked from, and maybe I've been around coaches too much. When I've talked with them, most of them would tell you that, you know, one game won't convince a player for the most part to come to that school. One game won't convince many players to come to a Michigan State, Michigan or Ohio State. Not one game. You know, they'll come in and they'll walk around campus. They'll get a chance to see the facilities, see what the kids are like in that school. And that'll probably do a lot more to sway them for picking that particular school. But, you know, I don't think that one game will sway them a lot either way.
Now, moving on to some other news now, I mean, with the one game swaying them either way. Let's talk a little bit about the coaching changes. We've got about a lot of them. We got about a minute 30 left. Let's just touch on a couple real quick.
Well, let's see. We know Purdue's got a new coach, and Brett Bielema leaving Wisconsin, going to Arkansas, caught a lot of people by surprise. I'm a little bit surprised, but once you look at it, you can see that Brett Bielema was going, because he lost a lot of assistants the last couple of years. So Wisconsin is going to have to upgrade how they treat their assistant coaches and pay them. That's for sure, because he left them and he took a much higher paying job at Arkansas. But I think they can win. What do you think? Do you think that Bielema can win there in Arkansas, or will he just be in for 2 years and 3 years and out?
No, I think he can. I mean, Arkansas is a team that swayed a Texarkana Ryan Mallett to come there, you know, transferring. I mean, I think, you know, they do produce pro talent. I think it's not impossible for him to win there. It's not really that down of a program.
Okay, well, we want to thank you all for listening today. We've had a very nice time, Alex and I, Alex Shark. I'm Earl Robinson, and convincing and picking all the bowl games and talking a little bit of college football with you. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR, and we come your way Monday through Friday at Talking Sports. Once again, thanks for listening to our pre-recorded program. This is Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant happy holidays.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.